Sad day at Fort Hood today in Killeen, Texas, as there was a memorial, is the best way to say it, a memorial, a way to honor, however you want to put it, the people who were killed by a fellow soldier on that base last week. The president was there, the top brass militarily were there, family members naturally were there. And it was a very somber mood, I think, but a celebration of the lives who were lost, which is so, so important, because amidst the chaos, the people who were injured and the surgeries after the surgeries, it still is so important to not breeze over, and certainly the military does this well, to not breeze over the people who were lost and to remember their contributions and what they did for this country and what they were doing on that base and so many other aspects, I think, related to that. I watched part of that ceremony, and it was very, very sad, I think, to see so many people who were just struck with grief and just sobbing at the loss, at the shocking loss of family members. In the meantime, and we're going to talk about the people who were killed. In the meantime, something else shattered our world. Welcome to America Tonight. Kate Delaney at the helm. I hate to start off this way, but it was just too big of a story and too frightening. A kid with a knife in a Pittsburgh high school. In fact, he had two knives with him, goes on a rampage and randomly picking victims and stabbing them. You know, it's interesting because we always talk about the guns, and how often do you call the show or do I say, well, you know, there's other ways, and we hope that doesn't happen, that somebody could cause panic and chaos and damage and kill people that they want to assault. So the stabbing shattered really a quiet, upscale community in this Pittsburgh area. So there were a lot of people that tried to come to the aid of the kids that were stabbed, and they took them into custody immediately. The kid's name, Alex Herbal, who's 16 years old. I hope I'm saying his last name right. He faces 4 counts of attempted homicide, 21 counts of aggravated assault. Teachers and students and so many others were in the middle of this, that they all sort of banded together, I guess is the best way I heard it described, to try to stop him in his wake. So 20 students in all and a security officer at Franklin Regional Senior High School were either slashed in this attack, slashed in the neck, the arm, the stomach, or they were stabbed. And man, the kid that they took into custody, it's that same thing. So while he faces all these attempts of homicide and aggravated assault and possession of a weapon on school grounds, the question still becomes, what made him do this? What made him do this? In fact, he has an attorney, And his attorney said, I'm not sure he knows what he did, quite frankly, which sets up a move to, of course, insanity. And then he's going to file a motion to move the case to juvie court. So they don't think he understands at all what happened. They're trying to determine where he is mentally. And it's very, very frightening, I think. When this happened, I thought, oh, you have to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. And even the kids who were hit, they sort of were shocked, felt this pain, noticed they were bleeding, and then realized what happened. But they said they didn't see anyone coming at them. It was a crowded hallway, and they were just doing what they normally do, get to the next class, move along the highway, all that kind of stuff. Now, four of the victims are in critical condition, including one who was just eviscerated, is how they're describing it. And it's a question of whether or not they'll survive. So he's being held without bail at the Westmoreland County Juvie Detention Center. All the things that I just mentioned, that's the details. You needed to know the details up front on this carnage. And it happened shortly before the start of classes when he started to stab the kids in that very, very crowded hallway. I started to think about this. I went to a big high school in a suburban area outside of Philadelphia, and those hallways were so jammed. I mean, people running to get to class, people running to get into the school. And I can imagine what that was like. If somebody were to have done that in my school, we wouldn't have known either. And so I can see how that happened, how all of a sudden, you know, they don't realize what's going on. And then somebody was smart enough to hit the fire alarm. And there were kids that ran out of the school. They were covered in blood. And the teachers asked students for their hoodies to stop the bleeding, to do whatever they could. There were crazy emergency calls that have come in, and were coming in while that was going on. So once again, what do you have? We've talked about this before with schools, whether it's elementary, middle, or high school. Panicked parents who race to the school to try to find out if their kid's okay. They're only getting little tidbits of information. They don't know. They don't know if people are dead. Now it's just a free-for-all, and that's exactly what happened. He's been described as just a nice young guy who's never been in trouble. Get this, not bullied, not a loner, works with other kids. 16, looks 12, a young kid. FBI agents in and out of the family house after the attack asking lots of questions. Before the agents came to the house, the father drives up practically hysterical because I'm sure he's in shock. It just makes you shake your head. It's unbelievable, folks, isn't it? I guess I shouldn't say that because it is believable. But you have students who were hurt that were 14 to 17 years old, stabbing wounds, punctures, lacerations. I mean, this is the latest in this whole school violence stuff that has happened across the nation. But mass stabbings, very, very rare. Needless to say, the town is rattled, the kids are rattled, and it's very, very shocking. Coming up next on America Tonight, we're going to go to Medellin, Colombia, to talk to Luke Vargas. Why is he there? You'll find out next on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
How can you save a ton of money and prepare for emergencies? By having your own in-home freeze dryer from Harvest Right. Now you can cut down on wasted food by freeze drying your leftovers. That's right. Create your own long-term food storage by freeze drying your own fruits, meats, vegetables, even complete meals with the Harvest Right in-home freeze dryer. Imagine the savings and the peace of mind. See how the amazing Harvest Right freeze dryer works at harvestright.com.
The TalkStream Live app for iPhone, iPad, and Android is the fastest and easiest way to access live talk radio anytime, anywhere. Download the free TalkStream Live app right now and see for yourself. You'll enjoy instant access to the best in live talk radio. Find your favorite shows and discover some new ones. The TalkStream Live app is available in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com.
Keeping up with Luke Vargas. Where is he now? It's kind of like Waldo. Where in the world is he now? He's in Medellin, Colombia. He's there for the 7th session of the World Urban Forum. And think of Medellin, Colombia. And in my mind, I think drugs and drug traffickers. Of course, I've been told when I was in Ecuador and Peru that that's not the case. It's a much different city now. Luke, you're there, and I bet you had in your mind, let's face it, some expectations of what you thought you might see when you went into Colombia. So far, has it been different than you thought or what you thought you were going to see?
It wasn't just me that had my expectations changed. My family and everyone I know was flipping out at this notion I was traveling here. Medellin is still associated with Pablo Escobar. He's been gone for quite some time, but that's still an issue. And FARC is always lingering on people's minds here. This is the sort of Bolivarian militant group that's been fighting against the Colombian government basically since the 1960s. So these problems are all sort of still on the world's tip of their tongue when they talk about Colombia. And I have to say, you know, if you look at global headlines, I think they do come up periodically. You know, FARC is still active. They're no longer really fighting hand-to-hand with the government because they are in peace talks right now, and there is basically a truce against those sort of attacks against people. But they do regularly blow up various parts of infrastructure. Just last week, they set off some explosive devices under the Pan American Highway, and that just caused a scene. So they target infrastructure, but they're basically a shell of their former self. And the risk of kidnapping for ransom, which was, again, one of the real threats against any visitors to this country for so long, has also really disappeared. And in its place is sort of a more traditional type of gang behavior that we're used to seeing, that I've encountered in my travels, seeing extortion of shopkeepers and that sort of stuff. And by comparison, that all seems relatively tame here, and I haven't detected any danger whatsoever in this city. It basically is just petty crime and keeping away from people who are high on drugs and things like that. But it's a beautiful city, and it was given the ability to host this conference because of some amazing urban innovations that have occurred here. This is the World Urban Forum, is sponsored by a UN agency, which is not political in any way. It's called UN Habitat, and they're basically a bunch of people who study the way human settlements are formed. So it's quite academic in nature. I know we did some radio when I was in Poland last year doing the United Nations climate talks, which is a overtly political institution, and it leads to sort of a level of stress being in the conference hall. I remember in Poland, you know, people bumping into me from all these delegations from around the world as they ran to take photocopied pieces of papers from one place to another. There's none of that here. It's very, you know, great discussions. There are 19,000 people here, which is almost double what the highest number of participants has ever been. So it's an amazing chance to hear about what different cities around the world are doing, as well as what Medellin has done, you know, to create a great urban environment.
Yeah, of everything that you've heard so far, what's been the most exciting, and you could hear people chatting about it? Because as you mentioned, you spelled it out. You're talking urban planning, housing, sustainability, public administration, everything that that entails. To you, so far, what has tripped the trigger, so to speak, for most people that have been at this conference?
Well, one thing that's very surprising to me, and, you know, I have the subscription to a whole bunch of magazines, you know, like the FP, and I get newspapers. And whenever you open them up, and I'm sure both you and your listeners see this, you see all these ads these days from General Electric and Siemens and Microsoft talking about smart cities and how basically the sort of fix-all for the urban environment is if everything were on a grid, if everything were in the cloud, God, everyone's life would be better and no one would be living in poverty anymore. And from what I've heard, this collection of people at these past conferences were very taken with this notion for quite some time. And I have to say, smart city, the term is still thrown around quite a lot. But what I'm detecting here, and it is quite interesting, is a big pushback against this. Basically, a lot of people acknowledging that cities can do a lot of great things for their citizens. And I'll talk about some of the things Medellin has done. But they can do them without basically striking these hundreds of millions of dollar contracts with these multinational corporations who sort of commodify the people in cities. They say, let's crunch the numbers of all these statistics and help you, you know, administer your city. And it doesn't necessarily lead to an improvement of public services. It just cuts down in government costs in certain areas, and efficiency is sort of the king there. But I think the extent of that promise and what it can really do to improve people's lives is sort of being taken apart here. I've gone to a number of panels with Microsoft executives, and there are just as many academics on those panels who really steer a lot of their presentations against Microsoft and Siemens and saying, you're really not looking at the whole picture here, and that, you know, you can crunch these numbers all you want, but it may not get you any closer to the truth about what it's like to live in a city.
Wow. You know, in talking about the conference and all the people are there, the kinds of people, we didn't get into that. What kind of people are, I mean, is this from Europe, from all over the place? Is anybody interested in this?
Yeah, a lot of people are from South America. I was here actually invited by the UN, as they invited 9 journalists from around the world, including some very famous journalists. I won't name drop too much just because I think, you know, they should choose whether they want to identify themselves. But, you know, most of them were from Latin America. There are a few from Africa. What's very cool at these pavilions, it's sort of a mini World Expo. You go into these huge ballrooms here, and all these countries from around the world are presenting their latest and greatest innovations. There's a giant Japanese pavilion where they're talking about different technological advances in the wake of the earthquake and tsunami from a few years ago. There are pavilions from a lot of African countries and then Middle Eastern countries. And it's kind of interesting because you see very clearly how it breaks down. There are countries that come to mind who really are pioneering new ways of building public services, of creating eco-friendly libraries and services for people. And then there are just as many governments. One comes to mind, which is Sudan and others in the Middle East, that are just showing off basically growth. They're not really concerned with the kind of more nuanced topics that are being discussed here, and are just showing off models of suburbs and that don't truly meet the standards of some of the other countries. So it's a whole mix from around the world, but I have to say, there are a lot of smart people here who are just really impressed with what they're seeing in Columbia. And if you permit me, I'll talk a little bit about some of the things that this city has done. I'd say probably the most interesting is that they've bucked this sort of model, which is that you have to plan things out in a major way. You basically start with these monster plans. You take a huge swath of a city and just start converting it, that you zone this area for commercial, this area for government buildings, and then sort of have designated residential areas. And what Medellin did in order to combat the problem of gangs controlling different areas and rampant crime is they went to the worst neighborhoods and they started giving them basic public services, human services. We saw in a lot of areas places where there were prisons, and right next door, they decommissioned the prisons and then put in these libraries, and each library has an accompanying park or public space or little amphitheater or a covered area where people can play basketball sort of under an armory-style dome. And it's amazing. The impact is very noticeable, and when I go around, people say, it really has transformed the nature of those neighborhoods. The people growing up there don't at all have the same history as they would if they'd grown up there 10 years ago. And another is transportation. There are a number of photos on my Twitter account, which is @TheCourier. I guess the story will be up on Talk Radio News website tomorrow with photos. But they've tackled the problem of this city being basically a city of hills, which makes it very easy to connect everything by road. They've used cable cars to bridge neighborhoods that have been hard to reach by car or by any sort of rail network. And as you go around to these very disadvantaged parts of the city, you just see what looks like an alpine jeep. And these are just everyday folks who ride miles-long cable car networks, which are suspended right over the slums, essentially, and they can get from place to place. And it has facilitated tremendous economic growth. You see kids commuting to school on these cable cars. So I think the model here in Medellin is one that's just very inspiring to people.
Yeah, very cool. Enjoy the rest of your time there, Luke Vargas in Medellin, Colombia. Thanks so much for joining us from Talk Radio News here on America Tonight. We appreciate your time.
Thanks so much. Take care.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained a leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams. Been haunted by a million screams. But I can hear the marching feet. They're moving into the street. Now, did you read the news today? They say that
there are what we call organized and disorganized methods of doing it. A knife is a disorganized method. It's usually crazed. It's on the basis of rage and anger. Sometimes it's not really stabbing. Sometimes it's just slashing. It sounds to me like it was a thought-out act. It was not an impulsive act that came about suddenly. And the fact that he had two knives shows that he was fairly serious about doing it.
All right, so everybody's still buzzing about what happened in Pennsylvania. We are, too. We kicked it off a little bit at the top there, as you've heard on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. The school stabbings, the fact that 22 have been left wounded, and now you got a young teenager. They're probably going to put him in juvie, try him through the juvie courts, and it's a question of his mental state and all the back and forth of that, but the town is completely in shock. That was Herbert Neilberg reacting from a psychological point of view of, you know, what are some of the possibilities and what happened here and what was he thinking. And we still don't really know that. It's always the why. It's like I've been saying all along in some of the other stories that we talk about here on the air. How often is that the answer to the question that we don't know? What led to this series of events? Good kid, had friends, wasn't bullied, upscale town, So what was it? And who's thinking that's going to happen? How do you protect kids in a school where somebody just goes in, it's a crowded hallway, and somebody's armed with two knives and they start stabbing people? So they're going to close Franklin Regional Senior High School for at least the next couple of days, according to the superintendent there. That makes sense. Grief counseling. We've seen this, too. Have that available for the kids. They're in shock. A lot of them had friends that were stabbed. Some of them narrowly missed being stabbed. Some of them had no idea they were stabbed, as I described at the top. They threw hoodies on people who were bleeding. I mean, it really has rattled them. And I don't blame them. I'd be pretty upset and rattled, too, if I were a parent in the school. And certainly the kids are now the latest victims of, geez, now we have to look over our shoulder. And this is, adds to all that whole school violence thing. 14 to 17 years old, as I mentioned before, too. That's the age ranges of the people who were stabbed. And what led this kid, this young Alex, to do this when he went to school? What led up to that? Anything? Was he just troubled? Was he on some kind of medication? Doesn't seem that way. You know, they're even arguing against bail for Alex Herbal, is his name. The district attorney said that four of the victims being in critical condition and one just cut to bits. Really, the question is, even if they'll survive, that, you know, I don't think there should be, any bail here, is pretty much what the district attorney is saying. So we come back to the same question. If you have kids or grandkids, do they have a security plan? Does the school have a security plan should something happen? Do you have a plan for your kids? How crazy is that? That now, you know, it used to be just fire drills, and you ran out, and you heard the bell, you had to be in order, you went down the steps, you knew what you were supposed to do. Now you have to have other kinds of drills. And it has to be traumatizing as well for the teachers and any of the administrators, because they have to feel responsible. I would feel responsible. If I was a teacher and this happened in my school, I would be hurting something awful, because I would want to have protected those kids. And there were people that stepped up, and there were people that eventually got him down. An assistant principal tackled the kid. But still, there's no way to wall that off. There's no way to 100% say, yeah, you go to this school, your kid is 100% safe, because you don't know that. Who thinks that this teenager is going to come with two giant kitchen knives and start stabbing people in the hallway? You're just not thinking of it. We have a wild history of violence now in our schools, which has led to all kinds of different things. Protection, Kevlar vests. Can you imagine if you had to suit up your kid with a vest before they go to school? You never know. Could get stabbed, could get shot. Here's your vest. And I'm not kidding. They sell that for all ages, including the young ages. You can get a vest for a 3- and 4-year-old. There's not much more to say about this than we've got to get a handle on mental health in this country. We have to. And so far, this hasn't emerged. So far, there is no conversation about, was he bullied, and is, you know, was that part of this? But it's pretty early on. Maybe something comes out that we had no clue about. So far, that has not happened. He was a sophomore in high school at a Pittsburgh high school. It's stunned a lot of people. And it comes back to the question of, this is the kind of things that can happen left unchecked. Maybe there's some, you know, we got to take a moment and start to think about the mental health across the board of kids at these schools. And as much as every time something happens, it's the guns. Well, here's an example, sadly, of no guns, but four people fighting, four kids fighting for their lives, and they were victims of being stabbed. So that's the point. Knives and guns are the tools. It's the intent. It's the crime. It's people dying. That's the thing. I mean, just what was the reason behind this? What was the reason behind this? What is the bottom line? What made this kid go berserk? What triggered it? Was it mental illness? Was it a cultural crazy thing? Was it No parenting, lack of parenting, and I hate to say that because it might not have anything to do with that, but we've seen that in the past, and those are all the checklist of things you would go down. Get to the core of what it was. And that's why this is a good example of forget the whole weapons thing. Focus on what caused that. What was it that triggered this to happen? I mean, we have a full-on mental crisis on our hands in this nation. We do. And we can no longer ostracize people for it. And we have got to address this. It's just like the base at Fort Hood today. They have a memorial. Why? The soldier was having problems, probably PTSD, wasn't quite classified as that, but that's what they believe. He was seeing, he was getting treatment for mental health reasons. He had an argument, poof, that's it. People get shot, people fight for their lives, and three people end up dying on a base. And what do the two things have in common? We're talking about mental illness. So this is the crisis. This is the thing that has to seriously not be talked about, not say, well, we need to be able to diagnose. No. I mean, it has to go deep. It's so easy to say, yeah, at the schools or on Capitol Hill, what's available? What kind of treatment is available? Because how do you know that person? First of all, how do you know the person needs the treatment? Are they getting treatment? How do you know they have a problem? I mean, ticking time bombs. How do you see the red flag of a ticking time bomb, especially when it's a kid who, by all accounts, is fine at school, is getting along fine with everybody so far? I mean, this may change. There may be some other portrait of a problem at home or something else at school that wasn't known that comes out. Either way, we've had mental illness come up over and over and over again. So there cannot be that stigmatism, I believe, attached to this. Maybe high anxiety. Maybe, they're always sometimes misdiagnosing or pumping pills into kids. Maybe that does something, the whole thing with the side effects. So it's weighing the options. It's being able to diagnose. And I've seen commercials. I mean, hey, there's some public service announcements about it now saying just because I'm different, don't think that I'm not a person too, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, we have to be aware of this, right? I mean, you just can't allow people to just go around attacking other people. I mean, we can't allow these children to be in harm's way. And it's not about guns. It's guns or knives or whatever the weapon is. It really is. And that proves the point. It proves the point. So I'm sure they're examining all these things right now. Talking about his background, talking to his family. That's why the FBI was there right away. So you can imagine that interview. It sounds like the parents had nothing to say. That they're stunned. That this isn't a case of like an Adam Lanza where he was having massive problems and his mother was trying to help him and she was worried. It doesn't seem as though this is the case with this kid. But time will tell as the story unfolds. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, before we hit the highway for this hour, we want to take you around the bend a couple of times to talk about the Ukraine and what's happening there, the crisis there, and also a few other things that have happened in the nooks and crannies, including what's going on with the gender pay issue that exploded the other day with the Equal Pay Day and the reaction to that. And it wouldn't be America Tonight if at some point we didn't have a mention of Chris Christie and A Bridge to Nowhere. That's next.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
With me. It's great because we're not distracted drivers, right? Not putting on makeup, not texting anybody. I'm just amazed every day at what I see in my daily life. I'm serious. I'm not all about Big Brother. I don't think we can really regulate people's behavior. So how many tickets can we give for how many things, right? I saw you put your foot up in the air. That's a ticket because that's distracting. I think you were taking a sip of coffee. That's distracting. I did have a friend one time. And I wonder if she's listening. Sorry, Debbie, I'm going to say your name. Debbie Martinez, very funny lady. And she got a McDonald's coffee, and she was worried about spilling. You know, it sort of tumbled out of something. She was so worried about spilling, she smashed into a pole and smashed her car. So she didn't hurt anyone. It was a parking lot. But still, she hurt herself in the fact that now she had all this damage to the car, and it was all because of the coffee. All because of the coffee. All right, so the gender pay thing. Coming up in our next hour, we're going to talk to Lisa Fritsch. You might remember Lisa Fritsch's name. She ran for governor of Texas hoping, as she was saying, she's a Tea Party activist, to stop the opposition. In other words, she didn't want to see the color of the state change in her mind, is what she was saying. So she ran, and she didn't get very far, but she made some noise. And she's got some interesting points of view, like Lisa Fritz. She's a black conservative. She's part of the Project 21 group, or she's, you know, she contributes to the Project 21 group. Let's say that. She's got an interesting point of view on gender pay. She even brings up Sheryl Sandberg and the whole lean in thing. So you'll hear that tie in. That's next hour. And she addresses the whole thing about people thinking that everybody in the Tea Party is just a bunch of wackadoodles, and she's just, you know, shakes her head at that. Like, come on now. Hey now, so this gender pay gap bill, it's going to have a test vote, but it's not going to pass in the House, so it's not going to end up becoming reality. It'd be a shocker if it did. But the whole idea behind this bill is to curb paycheck discrimination against women. It didn't clear the first Senate hurdle on Wednesday, so that was kind of a surprise because, you know, the Senate was the place that, okay, it's going to work here. Not going to work in the House, but we're going to get this through. And this is just a test. So it fell short, 53-44. It needs 60, as you all know, to punt it forward. And it was the third consecutive election year where Senate Democrats have pushed the bill, and Republicans, of course, have said, nah. And it was expected. I mean, it's expected that it's not going to become a law because of a few things that wouldn't make sense in it, including how it could hurt women for what they're actually making when they make more, frankly, than men on certain jobs. It's just, the problem is, it's a one-size-fit-all. We don't have a one-size-fit-all society, right? And I know there's probably women that are listening to me that are shaking their head like, wow, woman, man, and she's saying that. Well, that's crazy. That doesn't make any sense. I have my own personal example of that. I was the sports director for a huge radio station, 50,000-watt radio station in Dallas, Texas. And before me, of course, they were all men who had been sports directors. And, you know, the last guy in the door, we got the same pay. We got the same pay, period, boom. And I knew it. It was fine because I did the same things that he did. In fact, I did a talk show and he did play-by-play. So there was no discriminatory thing there. Of course, there had been, in some of the places that I've worked in broadcasting, where there was discrepancies with people's pay, but then some of that depended on how much tenure they had in the business, which that's a whole nother discussion. So anyway, the bill so far not going anywhere. I'm not surprised. Lisa Fritz, you'll hear some of her reasons why it doesn't make any sense, even from a woman's point of view. But and then the whole thing for the Equal Pay Day, that wasn't that kind of flub for the White House, since they don't have equal pay. Wait, we want equal pay, but we don't have equal pay for our own people. In other words, our own communications people, we have the men, we have the women, and they're not making the same amount of money. 88 cents, the women, a buck for the men, pretty much. That's the average, the average. All right, on to something else completely different that we've been eyeballing, the Ukraine and what's happening there. How about this? And I didn't even think about this, but somebody wrote a story about it. It's actually brilliant. The Chernobyl cap could actually be part of what's now happening with the Ukraine, meaning construction. They had construction on this coated steel climate-controlled dome that was supposed to begin, or actually did begin in 2010, to cover the meltdown area in the mid-80s when that happened, what, 86? So, because it is still the scene of the worst nuclear disaster in history or accident. But the project, of course, needed a whole bunch of money and all the work that had to be done on it. So it was a $2.1 billion project. And now, because of the Ukrainian government, what's happening there, and international backers, what's happening, it looks like it's not happening. So that dome, that containment dome, is stuck. The sections of the two 300-foot-high arches, I was looking at a picture of it today, that will span the whole site, and then it would be walled on the sides, is not going to be completed by the original goal of 2015. The delay of it because of now what's happening, because of the the Ukraine's economic and political crisis. So who knows when the project, it's just going to be another half-finished deal. That's what it's just going to have, cranes sitting up there, and it's not going to be finished. It was supposed to last about 100 years. It's probably never going to be completed. Because why? It's funded by the Ukraine and the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. But the Ukraine is broke. And donor nations are not going to invest with the political instability. So a casualty of what's happened in the Ukraine. While the Russians, adding to the instability, are getting closer and closer. And it looks like, I mean, video-wise, it looks like the Ukraine is being invaded by Russia. Putin is threatening to make the Ukraine pay ahead for gas because he realizes they don't have the money. So then they really will go belly up. It's not good, my friends, by any stretch of the imagination. But what would be worse is if we decided to really jump into the fray here without any backing, especially. That'd be even more of a disaster. It really would be. All right, so Chris Christie and the bridge. You know, Washington has some great bridge spans, and the George Washington span, never been one of my favorites. I have never said the name of that bridge so many times in my life. I'm more of a Verrazano gal. And actually, crossing over the bridges costs a fortune. So the best thing to do is just fly into the city if you're visiting, and then you're there. So two of the former associates of Christie have to, they're saying they don't have to hand over documents to a legislative committee investigating the traffic jam scandal. The loyalists, that's what they're being called, Bridget Kelly and Bill Steffen, had been fighting subpoenas calling for them to turn over documents regarding this supposed plot to create traffic jams in Fort Lee in retaliation against the Democratic mayor who wasn't backing Chris Christie. So the legislative panel asked for the court's help to get the two to give them, you know, to comply, to give the information up. But the judge in this case had reservations about using judicial power to compel the production of documents. She said that it was complicated and untested as far as jurisdictional issues were concerned. Because the committee has the power to enforce its own subpoenas through orders, but then it's different when you're talking about there's no clear basis to intrude on the power with those two. With a 98-page opinion, you know that's going to be appealed. So that means, guess what? The George Washington Bridge, the Fort Lee scandal, that's still going to be in the news, eventually come back up again. I mean, this is really derailing any plans that I think Christie has to run for the Republican presidential nomination in 2016, don't you think? Thanks for listening to this hour of ATN.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM-1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM-1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM-1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM-1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.